Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
No, six. You covered two of them, and then they made four more.
Welcome in, everybody, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin, and, of course, a mainstay on the show, DraftPlex, Jason Pruitt, of course, the sole proprietor, owner, man of the hour. Jason, how are you doing, my man?
Oh, good. It's good to have this wrapped up, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so much going into this whole weekend, and then it just goes by, and then you're done, and then it's like, you know, so.
Yeah.
I got to about pick 150, then I had to start kind of like zoning out, and then I got to about 200, and then I'm just like, I don't know who got picked in the seventh round. We'll look at what the Ravens did, and I got to get caught up and kind of fill out the board and kind of see how I did. But up until 150, we were tracking pretty well. I'll kind of ping that a little bit if I can toot my own horn, because I know, like,
to go
there's
for
a
it.
There's a cat that is with like the NFL research or something, and he posted Daniel Jeremiah's percentage of the top, because Daniel Jeremiah posted top 150, and he was at 128 of 150 for this draft. I was at 125 of 150.
Nice.
So just a tick behind. Mm-hmm. I got him in the top 100 though.
Nice. Awesome.
So,
that's awesome. I'm
pretty happy with it. Oh yeah, pretty happy. And I have all the respect in the world for Daniel Jeremiah. I think he does a great job in the sports.
He's a Raven, Jason.
Of course. I mean, you're telling me, y'all, Thursday night he was giving y'all your pick.
He was.
Didn't know it, right?
I know. And you know what? He always nails. If it's not the player, it's at least the position.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He absolutely kills it. But like Jimmy mentioned, so Jimmy put up a video earlier kind of going over a couple of guys, but I do want to quickly touch on those two now that we have
Jason
here.
We're here to talk about
here.
All of them. There's so many. We're excited to get your opinion on them.
Yeah, and first, you know, the Ravens get at 113. They get DeVontaez Walker, wide receiver out of North Carolina, who seems to fit that deep speed, you know, position that we were missing on this team. It seemed like that was just something we could never get down, is connecting on those deep passes down the field. And whether that was a Lamar issue and a connection with the receivers, who knows, but this guy seems like he might be able to help us out in that category. What's your thoughts on DeVontaez Walker?
Yeah, vertical threat for sure. He was kind of like the last remaining weapon for Drake May this year. Mm-hmm. And so they both kind of helped each other. Right. You know, like, he had the issue kind of during the season because he was wanting to transfer. They wouldn't let him. Then they wouldn't let him play. Then he finally got to come back and play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had him at the end in my top 100. And it seemed like everybody else pretty much did too. It's my 16th receiver, but certainly a 3-4, if not higher all the way through. I think when I started out with him, it was a 2-3. And then you kind of pick up on some more kind of finer details. Again, shout out to the Beast and the work that Dane Brugler does to kind of everything from medical to, you know, like opinions, the stats, how people are perceiving that. He puts that detail in there. But I always kind of had him in that range of kind of like that 15 to 20 ish of the receivers. And of course, like, you're going to get 15 going in the first 100 picks or so. So he was right there. I think could have been taken yesterday. But him still being on the board, it wasn't going to be long before he got called, and y'all got him at 113. But yeah, definitely a vertical threat. I think he might be a little loose on the route running, But that's something you can obviously tighten up. But again, I think his role is going to be to stretch the field for the Ravens, and I think he can do that very well.
Now, this is my real question, because it's probably been since I was, at this point, it feels like since I was 5 years old. No, the Ravens weren't even here when I was five, but 10 years old. And Glenn's been telling me we need a guy that can high point the ball.
Mm. Yeah.
It's been forever that this has been a thing, right? We've had some guys that can do it. Obviously, I'm being a bit sarcastic, right? But how do you break down his ability to win 50-50 balls, high point the ball, use? Because he's a bigger guy. Certainly, he's not the biggest guy, but as far as Ravens wide receivers,
6'2".
He's the biggest one we've drafted since Miles Boykin, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Sounds about right to me. I mean, I think the other one, Bateman, I think is listed at 6'1", I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's your take on his ability to win 50-50 balls and high point it?
I don't know if I would put that there. I don't think he's as physical as you might want for that. I think his role is going to be more to try to get by people.
Just over the top. Yeah.
Rather than throw it up and go get it. But obviously, you know, like the frame that he has, there's work that can be done there. Yeah. To kind of improve his opportunities to be able to do that. So yeah, I think to start out, it's more kind of your standard, you know, like nine route or running the go, right. throw it as far as you can, or also maybe doing some crossers and using his speed to get across the field and not just deep. So as far as the 50-50 balls, I'm not sure if he's there yet, but we'll certainly be looking at him to improve that moving forward.
Yeah. And what's crazy here is you look at his relative athletic score in comparison to his peers. And this has been a theme of the draft this year for the Ravens. They've gotten all freak athletes, like even the right tackle, Roger, freak athlete. I mean, everybody they get is insane. This guy ran a 4.36 40. I mean, look at his vertical and his broad jump and his comparison. That's a 0 out of 10. And it's a 0 to 10 scale. He gets a 9.9 in his broad jump and a 9.72 in his vertical. This dude is an explosive athlete. If they can somehow, you know, cultivate his route running and improve certain areas of his game, he could certainly be a valuable piece. But I agree. His first year, vertical threat, just run by guys, and we'll see, you know, how he develops later on down the line. But, man, I'm not mad. Like, what's his – because people were pissed they didn't take Troy Franklin.
Yeah.
When he was available in the previous pick. Are those two similar? And like, how do those two differ? Why do you think they let Troy Franklin sit on the board? A lot of teams did. Like, how did he slip and how are these two different?
I think with Troy Franklin, it's probably just the weight, because he came in at 173, and not that Tez Walker's that much bigger than him, but it's like, it's noticeable. And, you know, I think that's probably why, you know, like I kind of had Troy Franklin high just because the speed was there. He did have the height and the length to think that he would probably go on day two, and he just didn't. And we saw that with a lot of players. Like, I had a lot of early names. I mean, while the mock draft scores were reasonably high this year, the top 100 scores were not. The winning top 100s were at 85. I was at 83. Wow. And it just seemed like once we got into the third round, like everybody was like missing. And then you had, you know, like a couple of guys that you got here, Tez Walker, I think most people thought was a top 100 pick. And then we'll talk about the next one too, mm-hmm. also being a top 100
pick.
I
can't wait. Yeah.
So as far as like Troy Franklin, again, we talked about it, like after Brian Thomas Jr., it was going to be just preference. We saw that in the first mm-hmm. round. Mm-hmm. We saw that in the second round. And then to have a Troy Franklin, a Tez Walker not go on there, you know, like teams are just looking for something specific. But then mm-hmm. you saw, we started to see a run on the wide receivers kind of, you know, at the beginning of the fourth round. It didn't take mm-hmm. long for them to go. And it might have just took the right team at the right position, and they just had other needs that they wanted to fill there. So I don't think it was an indictment on either of the two players that they went in the fourth round. It's just, you know, there's a lot of talent and a lot of positions to fill, and wide receiver being deep like it is mm-hmm. every year, the direction that they decided to go was, we're going to target this, and we'll come back and get our receiver later, which, you know, for the Ravens' credit, that's what they did too. And I think it worked out to their benefit.
Yeah, Cole. I mean, Cole posted their consensus board pick, and this was another one that was, you know, a massive steal, at least according to that. So let's see how it ends up. But let's move on to the next pick. The guy I had this guy mocked to us in one of our earliest mocks. I think round three or something. I think it was round three. I had this guy mocked to us, and to find out that he goes this low and slips. I mean, you talk about slipping in the draft. I mean, I don't know if anyone slipped lower that the Ravens were able to get than this next guy. TJ Tampa, cornerback out of Iowa State. Got a lot of length. Doesn't have the top end speed, which is probably why he's here where he is. But a 6'7" wingspan allowed, what, one touchdown and 900 or something snaps, if I remember reading that correctly. What's your thoughts on TJ Tampa and how did he get there?
The only thing I can think is the speed. Like, it 4.58 pro day time, but I don't think that's his game, right? it's a tick slow than what you probably want. Like I said, that's probably why he was there. I think he might be a little too physical as well. You can clean that kind of thing up, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had him, and I posted this during the draft when it was happening. It was like, I had him as a firm second-round grade, and I know that at least I heard, you know, like Mel talk about, this is a fringe first-round player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I didn't agree with that. I thought that would be a little high. I didn't think he was quite in that tier, but certainly that next tier down, certainly a top 10 corner in this draft. I don't know where in the stack he ended up being as far as, like, who went off the board, but – to do it, go in the fourth round, I mean, that's, to me, that's almost a no-brainer. And, you know, like, I think it's a very Ravens pick for the way that he plays. And certainly, you know, we talked about it kind of leading up to the draft, there'd be an opportunity there to probably chase a corner at some point. And then y'all got two who I would think would be realistically consensus top 50 players between Nate Wiggins and TJ Tampa. And you get him at 130, like, insane. Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I'm over here wanting, you know, I don't Dallas wanting to take a corner, like they ended up taking one. I was like, take TJ Tampa. Like, I don't, if he gets to the fifth round, not that we had one, but I would have, you know, like third round, I was surprised to see that he didn't go. So
you feel, do you feel good about his, I mean, you mentioned the speed, you feel good about his technique though. He's obviously unique as far as his build. I mean, it's great that it was funny. I was doing our video earlier on these two guys being taken, the wide receiver and him, and they're listed exactly the same in height and weight on PFF. And I was like, man, just noticing that while doing the show was like, dude, this is wild. I mean, this is a big dude. It's like Jimmy Smith big.
Oh yeah, 6'2". He's a big, and he's got that crazy wingspan, 6'7", which is nutty.
Think about it. He's not 6'2", 180. He's not like 4. No, I mean, he's 200 pounds.
Yeah, he's a solid dude. Now, Jimmy, I want to ask you, with these guys, I mean, it's pretty clear they added two outside corners, right? Like, those two guys are going to be playing on the outside. Do you expect Marlon to take a much bigger role inside, which I think the year he spent most of his time inside, all pro. Like, the guy went nutty and is obviously really good in run support. So do you expect that to be Marlon's role this season, where maybe he did lose some of that top end speed and maybe that is his best suited position this year?
I'm not going to say right now that I expect it.
Nate Wiggins is going to start, right? And you got Brandon Stevens.
Yeah, but I've got to see it, right? Like, what if he's a first-round pick, so the assumption is that he'll start. But what if he's just not good? I mean, we just don't know what he ends up
being. I think that's their plan, right? That's their goal.
I think that's their goal, their vision. But right now, I would still have Marlon and Stevens until otherwise, you know, notified. I'm not ready to plug another guy in. You're not saying that I agree.
I'm plugging him right in.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if I'm there. But I do think that is highly likely. I just don't know if I expect it quite yet. I just got to see something in camp, make sure that, like,
certainly.
We didn't misevaluate. Something's off here. Like, this guy's getting turned around.
They never miss, Jimmy.
You know what I'm saying, though? Dude, it was Jason. You should have been there. Watching Zay Flowers absolutely demolish Forbes.
Yeah.
Dude, there was a moment where we watched it live and then went back on the camera to watch it, like what the Ravens filmed, where Zay just cucked and, you know, he stopped on the route and Flowers or Forbes kept going and he was off of the screen.
Yeah, he went off the screen.
Off the screen, dude. Like, it was – so, to me, I just want to make sure that, like, there's none of that. But I can totally see what you're saying, Glenn. And I think it would be great to have Marlon in there. The only other thing I would say, too, is that it's just about the combination of the best guys. The biggest thing, what I'm starting to see float around Twitter, I don't know if you've seen this, Glenn or DK, is that, like, apparently Brandon Stevens is not a part of the Ravens' future at cornerback. What? I find that hard to believe. I've only seen a few people talk about this, but I find this one very hard to believe. But either way, I think it's just about getting the best guys on the field at the same time. So if Marlon needs to move inside, we all know Marlon's a team guy. He's going to do it.
Not only is he a team guy, it's probably his best position now.
Right. Yeah.
So it seems like a win-win. I know DK brings up Sean Wade, which is fair when we're talking about TJ Tampa, but I mean, Wiggins is certainly going to be an outside corner. And so
that's
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At KPMG, we make the difference. It's not just something we say. It's what we do. Our professionals believe in the value of collaboration and the power of technology. We work closely with clients to uncover insights that illuminate opportunity, develop bold solutions that innovate industries, and create better outcomes driven by data. Brighter insights. Bolder solutions. Better outcomes. It's how our people make the difference, driving growth and value for our clients. KPMG. Make the difference.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Goes without saying, I think.
But yeah, what were you gonna say, Jason?
I was gonna say, do y'all think the Ravens might look at TJ Tampa as a safety? I know, I did hear that kind of initially, like maybe he has to move to safety because of the speed.
Well, the only thing is we got a pretty good strong safety in Kyle Hamilton, and then we paid Marcus Williams. So unless they lost the third fiddle with Geno. That's true.
As I was looking through kind of some day three type mocks or people that went seven rounds talking about the Ravens needing a third safety. You know, there's a possibility with the coverage skills he has, but maybe you try to hide the speed a little bit by moving him more inside. Not necessarily the slot, but you know, maybe like an overhang or something like that.
They might see some certainly special teams will be a big time role for him initially, but yeah, maybe we will see a way for them to turn him into a safety and get all three of them on the field. But I'm excited about him. I thought that was a steal. They called it an elite pick on PFF, which makes perfect sense. He projected second round pick. You get him at 130. It's absolutely insane.
But just really quickly to verify, because I wanted to ask this, and then Glenn, you asked me this question, so I just want to circle back real fast. Anything else you see in TJ outside of the speed that you like? Is there any inconsistencies in his technique or anything like that? The only reason I'm asking this, I did read some stuff on some inconsistencies, but I don't know. I don't like when people generally say that, like, who's a perfectly consistent player, and I'll name you the players that are in the Hall of Fame, right? Like even those guys have had their mess ups. So is there anything, you know, highly notable that we should look at as Ravens fans?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier, he can be a little too physical. I think he probably is a little tight. He's not the Nate Wiggins type, very, very fluid. Yeah. So, that would be something you'd probably just want to, at least have in the back of your mind. You're not watching the same type of player with TJ Tampa as you would be with Nate Wiggins.
Gotcha. Yeah, certainly different guys there with different skill sets. But excited to get him nonetheless, especially where they got him. But let's talk about pick 165, fifth round pick. We talked about it wouldn't be shocking at all to see them add a running back in the late rounds. We thought for sure they would at least add one as an undrafted free agent. They decide to go 165 at running back. They get Marshall running back Rasheen Ali, who a ton of work. I mean, this guy's got a pretty fair amount of carries in his past. And man, I tell you what, he looks like a perfect fit for what looks to be a complete transition to the zone scheme. It seems like that's a fit for him. He's another high grades and high regard for this pick. Jason, what was your take on Rasheen Ali?
Yeah, I think he got another little bit of a steal here with Rasheen Ali. I think he came at a little bit of a discount. He did tear his bicep. I don't remember if it happened at the Senior Bowl or
I believe it was at the Senior Bowl.
It was in the lead up to it. But certainly a round discount, because I think I looked at him as maybe a fourth. He could have been, again, with the running backs, depends on what you want. It's very much like these receivers. You have the handful that go early. Then after that, it's like, what role do you want them to fill? Speed, explosion, quickness, that's Rasheen Ali's game. So, plant your foot and go. So, like as you mentioned, the zone scheme, that's going to be very appropriate for his skill set. And so, I think, like I said, he probably would have gone fourth. I don't know if he had a chance at the third, just the way that teams are valuing running back these days and this class in particular, but I would have expected to see him go in the fourth for sure if he was healthy.
Wow. And what's cool about this guy, it looks like he's not just going to be, a guy that can maybe be a few, ultimately take over the backfield, but certainly this year do some backup work behind Mitchell and Derrick Henry. But also it looks like this guy's got some wiggle as a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. Look at the route. I mean, absolutely leaves this guy stranded over here. So I like seeing that. If he's going to be able to bring some of that, that'll only get him on the field quicker, especially if he can pass block. That is certainly a huge one everywhere,
but certainly a big one here. It's a quick way to get in the doghouse with John Harbaugh. If you can't pass block, you ain't seeing the field.
Well, another way to get in the doghouse, I think he's had some fumbling issues is what I was reading up on him. I knew that would bother Jimmy, but apparently
do we do this, Glenn? Like, why do we do this?
Well, look, when you're getting a steal, he's going to have a wart or two, Jimbo. And this is one of Rasheen Ali's warts, as he puts the ball on the ground on occasion.
Aren't there some warts that are like uncurable? Not uncurable, but like...
Nah, these warts you can cure, brother.
No, but like, this comparison I'm not going to draw out anymore. Like, are there some things that are on the list that you're just like, no, moving on to the next? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like, didn't we learn our lesson with who did we have last year? Gosh dang it, what's his name? Jeez a whiz. The Chargers, who? Wisconsin back.
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon. Yeah. Like, didn't he let the ball hit the ground in like 10 total carries for the Ravens? One of them hit the ground.
He did. Yeah. And he averaged like 3.5 fumbles a year for his career.
Oh my gosh.
Or four. I think it might have been four. Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying though, because there's enough good tape out there that it's like tempting, right? Like, but what's your take on this kid, Jason, overall? You feel good about him? Like you said, he's got a steal, you're a bit of a steal, but you concerned about the fumbles here?
Well, you hope that bicep's just going to come back strong.
There you go. I like it.
Well, look, maybe that's what it is. He needed a little bit of, they put something in there.
It was getting ready to pop. Maybe that's all it was. I don't know. I feel like, all fumbles aren't created equal. It's like, is it the thing where he's swinging the ball out here? Possibly. Could it be, you know, he's trying to do too much. I don't know. I don't have the full kind of highlight reel of all the fumbles that he had, but certainly it's a concern. Mm-hmm. But again, at this point in the draft, you know, like fringe sixth round player, you take the risk with the reward, hope you can clean that up. Make him carry the football into the team meetings and guys are going to try to swat it out. I mean, that's about all you can do is try to hope for that. But yeah, I mean, it looks like 11 over the last three, 6 and 21. He was injured for 22, 5 and 2023. So pretty decent clip every 40 or so carries. He's
that's not good.
You know, putting the ball on the ground. So,
but here's what is good, guys. That's because that's not good. But here's what is good. He did lead all of FBS with 7 plays of 50 plus yards. Okay, last season. So this is a home run threat, ready to go. And that's pretty impressive to get this guy where they got him. He has plenty of opportunity to sit behind Derrick Henry and learn and, you know, continue to work on his game. And hopefully Mitchell's back relatively early in the season. So, you know, a lot won't be asked of Rashid Ali early on. And let's see what the guy's got. But I still think another steal if you look at all the expected positions and all that. So, all right, let's move on to the next one here. And this,
hey, let's get to the super chat. Real quick. Yeah, no, you're good. Steven says, after this draft, let's add to Morgan Moses hypothetically as camp cuts.
That's you a good point.
Feel we did all we could to beat Chiefs? Question. You feel we did all we could to invest in Lamar and Henry, Derrick Henry? That being question. I don't know. I don't. You guys can tell me your take. Is I understand strategically building yourself to beat an opponent, but I think you should just beat you. Like, just worry about being your best team. Not like, hey, let's just simply beat these guys. Like, there's a ton of other teams out there than the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs are the Chiefs, but a lot of other teams out there. So I don't know. But to answer your question, though, I mean, we got some speed in the secondary, which is great because they got plenty of speed at wide receiver at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we need to shore up the offensive line and we did some of that. I don't know if we did as much.
Well, they got perfect scheme fits, you know, with athleticism at the offensive line.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously I was mentioning in our group chat, I just wish we would have just taken more swings.
Yeah. But you know, maybe they believe more in Voorhees and Ben Cleveland than we're giving them credit. And that's a big boy. That's a bunch of big boys, dude.
Sure. But if
everyone's 6'6", except for Linderbaum and 300 plus, obviously, except for Linderbaum.
Yeah, and if they're wrong, we have no one else in the stable.
That's true. That's true. But, hey, I'd rather them take a guy they have rated at 62 than a guy they have rated at 162 just because that 162 happens to be maybe a more of a position of need. That's not what they do. That's not why they've been so good at this. I get people's frustration, but, I mean, DaCosta said it. It was an unprecedented run on offensive linemen, specifically in the second, I think it was the second round, was it, Jason, where it was like 10 out of 20 players that went were all in the offensive line. It might have been the second or third round. And then a record number of tackles in the first round. Like,
yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. But, yeah, of all the linemen that I got from, you know, I think in the end I ended up with like 23 linemen for top 100. And we got 21 of them that went.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It's just they all started dropping. So it's like, I mean, I saw Mahogany on the board. I was hoping, but I don't know if he fits what they're doing now. I think he may have fit what they were doing previously. I'm not so sure. But the only
spot that and you could be right, Glenn. I feel like the 93. I understand we needed speed, and it's great to have speed at wide receiver, and it's something that, you know, we saw as a need and identified that. But I just wonder if there was an opportunity to get a really high, you know, a highly graded guy there. Anyway, you know, we can go back and forth with this chicken and the egg type thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Who knows how it'll all turn out. But, yeah, to answer your question, though, Steven, I think holistically, though, did they do everything they could to protect their investment in Lamar and Henry? Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's important to remember is not to say, oh, the only thing they did for Lamar was the offensive tackle and the receiver and the whatever the – you know, they could have done other things earlier in the draft. Let's look at this thing from a macro perspective. This is a team game. You know, what you do for the defense helps the offense, and what you do for the offense helps the defense, and all those things help Lamar. So they shored up a right tackle, which I think he'll start day one. We're going to get into the center that we drafted. Mm-hmm. Interested to get your take on him, Jason. So I think they did an okay job. I know that some people are wishing they were more offensive heavy, but I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I love their first three. I mean, it was. Yeah. I think they were awesome. But all right, let's get into.
Well, let's get to Don the C one. Real quick. Sorry, Glenn. Did you see that? Is that what you were going to say here on the screen?
No, we can. But yeah, Don C says, was the backup center we took from Michigan your radar? Can we get back? Because I have. We're just going in chronological order, and that would kind of jump him out ahead of the order. But yeah, Don C, we're definitely gonna jump into talking about him. Don C goes on to say, guys, awesome work on all the draft preparation. Jason and Cole were awesome insight. Brad, the new 410 looks great. DK, the Wizard of Pods, the man. Yes, he is. Absolutely. And yeah, Jason, I mean, my goodness, spending so much time. I mean, we're like best friends now. I mean, this is insane. But
you're on Glenn's top eight in MySpace.
That's right. That's right. That's rarified air. Jason, that's right, baby. Tell you. But here's where it gets puzzling. This is where it gets puzzling, Jimbo. Okay. And this is where I will say to Steven's question, I don't understand what the hell they were doing here. So I'm hopeful that maybe you can explain this to me, someone in the chat, Jason, anyone can explain to me what the decision is. Because I'm thinking of I'm seeing all these guys. I'm like, oh, man, they could go this route. They go that route. But the Baltimore Ravens drafted quarterback Devin Leary out of the Kentucky. He is a 6'1", 217-pound, 6-year senior who will be 25 by the time the year starts. Why did they take this guy where they took him? Why?
It's a great question, Glenn. I was trying to, before the show started, I was like, well, they just don't want Lamar, they don't want him to ever touch the field. But, we already got a guy, and why waste a 6th-round pick? We've done so well. Look, Sam Cook was drafted in the 6th round. Okay, I'm sure there's other good 6-rounders.
Exactly. Like,
there had to be some value there. Was this guy really the best available player at this point, right? Like, I mean, Jason, we're obviously both perplexed by it if you sit back and think about it. And this obviously wasn't as bad as the Penix pick for the Falcons. But what's your take overall?
6th-rounder, 7th-rounder.
I can't offer anything positive here. Like, I don't. I would love to try to kind of ease your concerns about, but he was a fringe draftable for me. Like, I thought once you got past, so I had three guys, and then it looks like Michael Pratt didn't get drafted. If I have that correct, as I said, I'm catching up on 6th and 7th round because I you got to step away at some point.
Sure.
But I don't. I honestly, a 7th round flyer for a team that needed a quarterback like that maybe fit, maybe Leary could go there. I didn't have a whole lot of confidence going in that he would be, but I thought of that last bunch of guys. I had 20 quarterbacks, and I think I had him at maybe 12 or 13. And I didn't expect him to go. I mean, that's just the thing. Mm. But yeah, to your point, I didn't see anything that necessarily made him draftable. But like teams take quarterbacks, and all it takes is one to find a guy, and then they stick around for whatever reason because they have the right champion in the room for him. I don't know. I don't know that he fits Baltimore.
Yeah, what?
They must see something to validate the pick, but I wouldn't say like this is like if Lamar goes down, maybe he just wants somebody there and not wishing that on, but like you're changing your offense to implement this guy as a starter or a backup. Hopefully he doesn't see that, but I would probably want somebody whose skill set maybe aligns a little bit more so you're not having to do that. This pick wasn't it for me.
Is Monken banging on the table for him as his backup?
Like, yeah, is he somebody like a Stetson Bennett replay? Like, is this guy remind you at all of Stetson Bennett, who he won championships with at Georgia?
I have to be honest, I didn't watch enough of him to say that because I was like,
you crossed him right off the list.
I was just like a nope for him.
Here's the thing I don't get. Like, I was on Twitter immediately. I'm saying, what? I don't understand this. And people are jumping, you know, to the defense of the Ravens saying, look, they got Josh Johnson. Who else do they really? They got Malik, who they don't even know if the Ravens view him as a quarterback. It doesn't sound like they necessarily do.
All right.
But my question was then, so you feel better if Lamar Jackson were to go down, that the Ravens now have a better chance of winning the game thanks to Devin Leary.
Right. Like,
no, yeah, hell no.
What would be the delta between him and an undrafted guy? Like,
right.
Minimal, right? Like, how, you know what I mean? Yeah, right. Why use the draft capital?
That was a massive, massive whiff, in my opinion. Like, you guys, I mean, Geno Stone was a 7th-round pick. Like, you can't tell me you can't find quality in the back end of the draft, even if that quality takes a couple years to develop. Fine. Okay, at least if he has a – I mean, what is this guy? I don't – he's a camp arm. He's a camp arm to me. Like, I don't see much more than a camp arm. Yeah, BP said it. He's Trace McSorley, but, like, the bad – like, a D version of him. Like, not even – Trace had success in college. Like, yeah. This guy wasn't good as a 6-year senior. 6-year senior, Jimbo. He stunk.
That's a problem. You're literally a man playing against boys. I mean –
yeah, I know. I said he'll be 25. I said 25. That. Yeah, I said that earlier. He'll be 25 when the season starts. That's like the craziest thing. It's not even like you're investing in, well, he's 20 and maybe he's.
Right, I was 4 years married by that point.
Right. Like, I already owned my home. What are right. we talking, what are we talking about here?
Dude, you're still living in a dorm. I doubt he's living in a dorm, but like, come on, man.
He might be. This guy, he might be.
Living it up in a dorm. Dude. He's like a super senior. Let's go to spring break, boys.
Buying beer for everyone in college. Exactly. They don't even ID him, bro.
With the freshmen.
They don't even ID when that guy goes to the bar. They think like, we get it.
Only the freshmen think he's cool.
It's bullshit. Dude, I really have no, I can't, I, normally I can go, oh, yeah. Well, you know, I can come up. No, it, nothing.
DK, is he still on the market?
Who?
DK just said in that case, they should have signed Flacco to be the backup. Like,
no, he's with not, the he is not Colts, on the market.
Yeah, I didn't think he was on the market. Yeah, I didn't think so. I knew he signed.
No, in the end, like, if you wanted a quarterback there, I could have pointed you in the direction of a couple other people that I would have preferred, even though I did kind of rank Leary higher just because I thought somebody might, like, there might be equity in somebody scouting to be like, let's draft this kid. I can work with him. He'll be good for our room, that kind of thing. That's the only thing I could think of. The other thing about these late round picks is sometimes it's the pick is made to avoid the scramble for undrafted free agents after the fact. I'll be interested to see of the other quarterbacks out there who ends up on a camp roster, because I feel like there were a number that, at least drafting wise, I would have preferred to take.
Yeah, I don't get this one whatsoever. Well, yeah, like Jay Rum said, keep Anthony Brown. I'd rather have Anthony Brown than this guy. Like,
as rough as that's been.
Yeah, that wasn't good, but at least we saw some flashes of something.
He had the slowest release.
Know,
like that
he
Brian
did,
left.
Big
foot.
Ass wind up.
Yeah.
Back here.
That Byron left, which I mean. Remember that? Yeah.
Like he's throwing axes.
But look, I got to be honest with you, Jason. Not my favorite. The pick I wanted to talk to you about the most all day today was this center we took from Michigan State.
Yeah, let's get into it, man.
I want to talk to him and specifically around his ability or his potential to move to guard. Because look, he's going to ride the pine if he wants to play center, because I think we have the best center in the league. And he's only going into his second year. He's only going to get better. Do you see this guy as a potential? Just like Don C says, Jason Pruitt was a question to you. Was the backup center we took from Michigan on your radar, or did Harbs get his Michigan pick as per the norm? And then in addition to that, like, do you see him projecting as competing for a guard spot?
I think he could. I mean, I think there's quickness there. I don't know, like, as far as the ceiling on the player, but yeah, he was on my radar as kind of a late round in this range of being a possibility. I didn't necessarily look at him and project him to guard, but I think he could do it. I think he's strong. I don't think he's like a great athlete. At least he has the arm length that you would hope for. He's not, you know, like confined to the short arms that would make you center only. So like, I think there's a chance that he could slot in there and certainly compete. You bring him into camp.
Yeah. It seems to fit the zone. the zone scheme. He obviously, we had a position of need. We didn't have a backup center. Mustafa ends up going elsewhere. So there was a position, there was positional need. And look, if God forbid, in week, 15 or next season, we did have to play a game where Linderbaum wasn't able to suit up for one game. Hey, maybe this guy could be that type of replacement. Obviously, if he's, gone for the year, that's a whole different situation. But let's give this guy a chance. I think
in the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and discover why California is the ultimate playground.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I think he's got at least the scheme fit and quickness to be on our team.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe there'd be a little more to.
He's got some nasty though, dude. By the way, I saw him walking off the field, giving the whole crowd the middle finger. One of the games here. Let me see.
Was that him?
Yeah, that was him. That was him.
That's awesome. Now I want to pull this up real quick. I just saw this on Twitter, dude. TJ Tampa, check out this kid's bounce.
Oh, dude, he was a stud high school basketball.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Look at, just watch this. Look how far he.
And his head is hitting the rim. And he's got a 6'7 wingspan on top of that height. Or that
look at this. Here we go. So easy.
Oh, my God. Cooper DeJean, who?
Dude, talk about bounce, bro. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, that dude is a freak. I mean, that's what they got. They got a bunch of freaks athletically. Like, it's insane how they stacked up that Raz. Is it Raz? Raz?
What do you
that athletic score?
Raz, yeah.
Raz, yeah.
Relative athletic score.
Yeah, yeah. Big time. That's big stuff. But all right, so what would you give that as far as would you say that's a just solid pick, average pick, good pick? What are you thinking?
I think that's a solid pick. I mean, sure. I had a few other centers that I liked better, at least, again, that's just me personally. But again, as far as scheme fit and that sort of thing, again, if you're projecting him in a guard, once you get to this point, it's like, what traits do you see?
Yeah.
I can't take issue with the pick at all.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Now, I'm going to need your help on this last one because there wasn't a ton of information. I didn't know a ton about their final pick, but actually before we mention that, I do want to quickly point out, this is what I was mentioning earlier, where the consensus board had guys versus where the Ravens ended up taking them. Nate Wiggins was the consensus 24th. Ravens got him at 30. This is the only blip in the radar here where Roger was actually the consensus 75th prospect. Ravens took him at 62, but everything else, I mean, Adisa Isaac, the 66th prospect, they get him at 93. Tez was 82. They get him at 113. And TJ Tampa, 55 on the consensus big board. They get him at 130. I mean, that might be the biggest steal of the whole draft, if you, at least if you put any value in the consensus board. But let's get into the last pick, the final pick of the Ravens draft, pick number 250, safety out of Purdue, Sanusi Kane. What can you tell us? Apparently, what I'm seeing is he played a lot of snaps. He can certainly come up and help in the run. But what's your take on Sanusi Kane here, Jason?
Yeah, I liked Sanusi Kane here late. He was kind of one of the guys I got to towards the end. And as I kind of go through this process of looking at these players, you know, I get through all the combine invites, the, you know, handful that are getting at least some buzz being non-combine. And of that last kind of group, Sanusi Kane was like one of the only ones that I had that wasn't just late draftable, which like to me is you don't even consider that player probably until like the sixth round at least. So I liked him. He was a Hula Bowl invite, which is kind of like Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, Hula Bowl. And some of those guys do get called up. But yeah, just a physical presence. I think that's kind of his hallmark. I don't think there's a whole lot of finesse to his game. When I watched him, you know, like size wise, I think he's very solid. But yeah, definitely more of a downhill type defender than coverage. But I did like him. And I think at this rate in the draft, like that's a good pick.
Yeah, I just wanted to, from a scouting report standpoint, Glenn, I don't know if you've seen this as well, but I thought this was pretty cool. I wanted to put this up on the screen real quick. If you guys will bear with me, I think this is, you know, this is his coach talking about him. He's been floating around Twitter. And I think this is worth a watch. Let me know if you can't hear this.
Well, I wish we had more guys like Sanusi Kane. I mean, he's a warrior. He loves football. He can hit. He can tackle. He plays hard. And he's one of our fiercest competitors.
Sanusi Kane. Said. That's what I was going to say. That right there is like, all right.
Say less.
Like, I mean, I know, right. I know that that's his coach and, you know, there's biased opinion there, but I love that, right? He's just a ball player. I love,
we got Bo Braid from Maryland as a UDFA.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. Let's talk about that. But the only thing I want to say here is that,
let's swap him for Devin Leary.
Yeah. See, wow. If he would have literally taken him there.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You get it, you know, you get it, but okay. All right. But why Devin Leary? I can't wait to hear what they say. Yeah. I mean, look, I got people coming at me in the chat a little bit here. We're going to come more with ADC talking about how the Bills addressed wide receiver much earlier, and still there are fans that think that the Ravens have not invested enough at wide receiver.
The Bills had no one at wide receiver.
They had no one. They had no one even close to Zay, no one even close to Rashad Bateman. They got rid of Gabe Davis. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. They had no one. They have one little speed guy. I can't remember. Right. Whatever is Shakir, I think is his name.
Kind of came on late last year, I felt like.
And they had two really good tight ends. The Ravens have two really good tight ends and two really good receivers. One really, really good receiver, and one I think has the potential to be really good. Let's not act like the cupboard was as bare as the Bills. I mean, that's just insane. And guys,
Nelson Agholor
would
have been their number one receiver if he was on the
team. Oh, for sure. Right. Yeah, before the draft. And let's remind you. For those who are saying they haven't invested, they don't do enough to surround Lamar. That's still being said. They've invested more draft picks at wide receiver than any team in the league.
And it's just crazy
since they have Lamar.
I just want to back this up. Go look at the run game for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Go look. Right. It's Josh Allen. If Lamar Jackson had to forcibly be the Atlas of our run game, like just carrying the entire thing.
Yeah,
you know, it would work. He's Lamar Jackson, right? But people be talking about him getting injured. People be talking about, you know, him having to risk himself. People will be bashing the Ravens for not getting. So there's other ways you give your guys help, is what I'm saying. A powerful run game, a good offensive line, other than just getting him guys to throw the ball. So we beat him on both fronts. We're number one rushing team, and we have a better wide receiver core. Mm-hmm. So look,
Zay's too small. That's what I'm seeing in the chat too.
Stop it. What about
I think we got Smith? I think Terry, I think you're Keon Coleman's. You got to be his brother or his cousin or his uncle. I mean, this guy loves some Keon Coleman. By the way, just want to point out that Leggett was drafted before Keon Coleman. What do you think about that, Terry? What do you think about that, Terry? And Zay's too small.
It doesn't matter how tall you are if the dude can't stay within 5 yards of you. What are we talking about here? This is my favorite thing in the world. Like, straight up, I love to all the time be like, oh, well, you can't go right. Well, dude, you can't stop me going left, so I don't need to go right.
That's right.
Like, would it make me go that way? Like, people can't even stay in Zay's frame of relevance. Like, what are we talking about, guys? Stop. Anyway.
Yeah, well, so look, I'm going to give him a grade, and I want you guys to do the same, okay? So I'll start us off. As much as I love their, you know, the value they got at many picks, I love all the early round picks. I think they certainly were able to address the positions of need while getting value at the same time, which is that's the match made in heaven right there. But damn it, if that one pick, it can't be an A. It can't be an A because of that pick. Wow. So I'm going to, therefore, it's got to be a B for me. If I have to get more down to the nitty gritty, I'll say a B plus, but you can't be an A when, in my opinion, that one pick is such a head scratcher. It's a waste. And yeah, so B plus in my opinion, this close to being an A.
B in mine.
That's a B.
B. Yeah. It's a solid B, like a 84%, 86% somewhere in there. You know, I think it's a solid B, and my rationale is similar to yours. Obviously, I think that not as much of mine is hinging on that pick. I just wish they would have taken some earlier swings in that. We had two picks in the third round, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or two in the fourth, the 93rd.
One in the third and then the early fourth.
But we had two in the fourth, right? We had two picks in the fourth, didn't we?
Was it a comp? And then
anyway, my point is that I wish we would have taking right some here. More swings at interior offensive line. I know that, you know, the run is what it is, but yeah, I wish we would have taken some swings there. So
that's where they got Tez reasoning. Walker and TJ Tampa in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I wish one of those picks would have been.
You gave him a B. Line. So yeah. Two Bs. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with the B. And then I feel even more bad for y'all because Michael Pratt did go in the seventh round to the Packers. And that would have bumped it up. And if you wanted a quarterback there, that would have been the one to take.
Yeah. Any
and one last little tidbit.
Oh, look, now they're trying. Look, Terry's trying to say that you said Zay wasn't the top target. You messing up now. He called Zay the number one receiver on draft night. What are we talking about?
Anyway. Yeah, and even, I mean, Glenn, after I picked the Ravens to take Zay, he's an undersized guy, so you know I like him. And then on top of that, I had a Super Bowl winning wide receiver. Kadri Ismail, laugh at me on our show when I said that Zay was going to be the number one receiver season.
Yes.
It didn't take three games.
Right.
For that to come true.
For you to be right. And we mentioned it literally every episode that Kadri was wrong. So come on now. That's not. Now you're making up stories, Terry.
Remember.
Now you're making up stories.
That's right. Anyway, sorry, Jason.
No, I just was going to say, like, Sanusi Kane probably a special teams player for y'all. Like, I think that, you know, the new kickoff rules and that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, I mean, those guys obviously are on your depth chart, so you'll want to have that. But. Once you get there, like somebody in the room is advocating for that. But, you know, like his coach obviously had some positive things to say about him. So, well, it's kind of hard to disagree with that. Yeah.
Speaking of advocating for it, I think T. Martin, Devin Leary is going to get T. Martin fired with that pick because apparently that was T. Martin's guy. He beat, the old stand on the table. That was his guy. He saw something in him. Well, you better be right, T, or you're going to be finding yourself some other employment because this guy, I don't understand it. He's trash. I could be wrong, though. I'm just some stupid fan. Let's be honest. Let's be honest here. But
well, Jason,
I could be right.
You could. Jason, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yes.
We greatly appreciate it, as always. We hope that the draft as a whole, it sounds like it went well for you. But why don't you let the folks know where they can find you? And if there's any new stuff, any new iterations, renditions, things you're going to be adding, kind of what you got in the works.
No, I just want to say thanks to you guys for continuing to have me on. I know like the equity goes away in things just because like, you know, you change over to whoever's that year's best. And so we're still hanging in there. They updated the numbers. So I jumped from top 25 on the mock draft to tie for 13th over the last 5 years.
Nice. Okay. Oh. Okay.
Top 10 of the top 100 board, finished with the third highest score this year, and only because I knocked a couple people out at the end, just because I was like, I had Caden Wallace in the top 100 and he went and I knocked him out. Disgusted me when he went off the board. I appreciate you guys having me on, continue to do this year after year. It's fun. It's a grind, obviously, you know, leading into it, but yeah, NFLDraftPlex.com. Every year I'm like, I'm not going to do as much. I'm going to change how I do it. And I end up doing the same thing. And
you did more through this year.
I did. Like I did way more than I thought I was going to. Cause I was like, I'm going to do one. I'm going to do the final mock draft. I'm going to do a top 100 to get scored. I did the 475 players on the board. I did an extra mock draft. I killed the 7 round because I didn't have the time to do it. And then I did the round 2 that turned into a day 2 mock draft yesterday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm gonna kind of clean up everything from this draft. We're gonna shut it down until, you know, this time again next year. I'll try to get a little bit more ahead of the curve than I did this year. I had some things going on that kind of lagged, but we caught up. We were in good shape most of the way through. Everything performed pretty well. I gotta go back and look at my board, which is different than your 1 through 300. I do that too, because I'm on FanSpeak. The simulator thing I don't do anymore, but they were good to me in the very beginning, so I continue to owe that to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we looked good. I think by comparison, I might try to find something that's a little bit more accountability, because yeah, you can throw the boards out there and then, you know, they just get tossed in the garbage. But I think that's important to kind of show how you do every year, just to validate that. And I saw somebody in the chat that was like, these YouTubers think they know better than the coaches. Well, sorry, brother. You're watching us, so I don't know what that says about you.
True story.
This ain't the time to start throwing bombs in the chat, because I'm going to come back with the nukes. So...
Oh, love it.
Go find your best analyst that you like watching on TV. Go look at my scores and
because they're better. Because they're just better.
I'm still setting the bar in a lot of ways. I think for somebody that's not connected, I made the joke last night, Glenn, where I was like, next year I'm just gonna start throwing out insider stuff and just farm that engagement, and I'm not connecting anybody, just because it seems like a lot of that's what's out there. You see that so and so is gonna be second off the board and that kind of thing. But I don't want to go on a rant. But no, I can, I'm just trying to, you know, like carve my place into this stuff. And obviously this space has gotten so crowded over the last few years. It's nuts. And there's a lot of, you know, misinformation out there and a lot of groupthink. And I try not to do that. And I think it's proven pretty well thus far. And so we're going to keep at it. Mm-hmm. Again, NFLDraftPlex.com, @DraftPlex on Twitter. And we'll see again this time next year, hopefully, for an even better 2025 NFL draft.
Let's go. Thank you so much, Jason. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, always got a home here. No doubt. No doubt. Appreciate you, man. Have a good night. Thanks for all your time. You're the man. All
right. Thanks, y'all.
Absolutely. We'll see you. Jimmy, long weekend.
Yep.
But it was fun. Absolutely a blast. We're going to continue to make sure we look at we contact all these guys that have been covering all these young players in their their college years, to get some more in-depth knowledge of how these guys, you know, who they are as a person, not just what they do on the field, but who they are in the locker room and the community as well. Stay tuned, stick with us, and we'll make sure you stay up to date on all your Ravens news. That's it for us tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.